Cambridge Breakfast.
Cambridge 105 Radio.
It's Cambridge Breakfast with Julian Clover and Yossi Osman, and a petition launched in opposition to Cambridge Extinction Rebellion's climate change protests has now reached over 6,000 signatures. Behind it are Matthew Bird and George Hours. Matthew is with us this morning. Morning, Matthew. Thank you for coming in. Let's start with the petition itself, and a simple question, really. Why did you set it up?
Yeah, so we do acknowledge, both George and I, that we need to take serious action to combat climate change. But we think that this particular action is unjustified. The roadblock and the associated acts are clearly illegal. We think that they're potentially dangerous. We've already seen potentially two emergency vehicles that have been held up by this and chaos across the city. And we just think that we should speak up on behalf of Cambridge residents and people who work in Cambridge to call on the police to put a stop to it.
And when did the petition first go up?
Yeah, so Extinction Rebellion started off with setting out a series of demands that they put upon the city. And it's really at that point that we said we would put the petition out. So it does talk about the future roadblock in a sense.
Right, I'm trying to think, it's about a month or so ago, wasn't it, roughly, that the three demands one each for the city,
yes,
the county council and for the university.
Yeah, and we just don't think that it's appropriate for a group like this, a self-appointed group and quite an anti-democratic group to put these strident demands on the city. The one demand in particular that we object to is the demand for the city council to surrender some of its powers to an unelected assembly. And we just think that, you know, that's clearly anti-democratic and unjustified.
What do you think of the Greater Cambridge Partnership? Does that count as an elected organisation?
That's for a different radio. I'd be happy to talk about that as well.
Yes, it possibly is. when have you seen the peaks in the survey? Is it something like, you know, for example, on... Whilst I think they moved into Saturday, Sunday, but Monday would have been when a lot of people felt the impact, for example.
Yeah, so of course, when they actually first started the roadblock, it obviously peaked. And there have been various other peaks. So there was this worry that they initially promised to let ambulances through, but there is this worry that they've delayed or in some cases turned away at least one or two ambulances. So
I think there was some dispute over an ambulance on its way back or something, or a couple of, you know, ambulance crews going on their lunch break. It's not
but I think
the difference for the blaring blue lights, of course.
Yeah, but I think that was one of the major peaks for the petition. That's when we saw a lot of signatures.
Seven arrests yesterday.
Yes.
And in fact, we had seven arrests in one day. There was the one for early on, I think, and then another six later in the day, both in connection with the lawn being dug over at Trinity, and also later in the day on the Charles Babbage Road, as Yossi was telling us in the news. Do you think the authorities are now a little bit more on track than they were at the start of the week?
Yeah, and of course we do welcome that, and we think that that is definitely a change from the tact of the authorities from earlier in the week when we first set up the petition. So when we first brought the petition to James Sutherland, who is the acting police officer in charge, his position was very clear that he would not only allow but also facilitate the protests unless they involved serious violence.
Because if he was here, he would say that the demonstrators do have a right to a peaceful protest. If we wanted to, three of us could, you know, hop on and stand in the middle of a roundabout, and that would be fine, providing we weren't causing a danger to anybody.
Yeah, I think that there are constraints in the law about that. You know, it is illegal to obstruct a highway, and we were objecting that we wouldn't want a precedent to be set that anyone could take this sort of action for their own cause. Mm. But there is definitely a change of tact in the police, which we do welcome.
But do you think that's been brought about, though, simply by the fact that the action has been ramped up, if you like, in terms of digging over the Trinity College lawn and gluing themselves both to police cars and to parts of the Schlumberger building?
And the fact that there is a lot more focus, particularly with what's been happening this week. Do you think that might be why we're seeing an increase in the authorities sort of interfering?
Yeah, I do think that's the case. And I think that the group is losing quite a lot of public support. So not only is the petition is a sort of statement or an expression of public anger about it, but also, you know, when ordinary people in Cambridgeshire see them digging up Trinity College's historic, beautiful lawn, that I think they've lost a lot of support there. And I think there is an underlying danger here that the Extinction Rebellion have really set themselves up as the vanguard of the climate movement, and now they're doing these very unpopular moves. And I think it really does risk this what is that actually important, an important cause, sort of becoming less popular because of this?
One of the things that struck me yesterday was we heard from Tilly, I think it was, who spoke to us on Monday. And she said that the reason why Trinity College had been dug over was because their colleagues in Ipswich had suggested it would be a good idea because they have a dispute about some of the land which is owned by the college. So do you think part of it is almost influences from outside of Cambridge? You don't necessarily... I don't need to, you know, slight the poor people of Ipswich here. Why would somebody from Essex slight people from Suffolk? But if they're coming from outside of Cambridge, they don't necessarily have the respect for the Cambridge society that the regular protesters might.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely true. And that is one of the things that does anger me, that in a sense people are being shipped in from all across the country to come and damage Cambridge. I mean, when I spoke on BBC radio the other day, and the person that they interviewed from Extinction Rebellion after me was from Manchester. So I'm sure that they walked or cycled down there or took some other very climate change friendly means to get here. But, you know, shipping in people to come and wreck Cambridge is not really something that I imagine Cambridge citizens are very happy about.
What are your own views on climate change? We touched on them a little bit at the beginning of our talk, but I think most people would acknowledge that there is a problem. I guess the extent of the problem is still open for debate. But what do you have a car? Do you drive? Or
No, I don't own a car. I cycle everywhere or walk. As I said at the start, I really do acknowledge that there is a real need for climate change action. And I think that one of the dangers here is it's easy to slip into thinking that if you're pro action on climate change, you must be pro XR, and if you're pro our petition, you must be against action on climate change. But I think it's more nuanced than that, and you've got to look at what XR are actually asking for and demanding. And as I touched on before, I think that demand for a citizens' assembly is it's orthogonal to the action on climate change, and it's actually very damaging and counterproductive.
I know we've seen the numbers of people that have been signing the petition, but what have people actually come to you and said? What sort of response are you starting to receive? Has it changed from in the last couple of weeks in particular?
Yeah, I think, well, it's very coloured by the particular actions themselves. So I think there's a lot of frustration that the police aren't acting. And I think that is another source of worry, because, you know, if people lose confidence in the police, there's the danger, and I completely condemn it, of vigilantism and that sort of thing. So there's a lot of anger about the police inactivity. There's a lot of, you know, when people in Cambridge see Trinity Lawn being dug up, they obviously are disgusted by that and, that sort of thing.
Mm. Do you think the City Council have got this right? Because they've engaged quite a bit with Extinction Rebellion over the past few weeks, attempted to, well, they did invite them to their council meeting on Thursday, which possibly didn't go quite as planned.
The City Council have bent over backwards to accommodate Extinction Rebellion. They've met with them twice this year already and have tried to de-escalate the action. They've taken on board a lot of the suggestions, so they do have plans in the upcoming year to hold what they call people's assemblies, which are attempts to talk to Cambridge residents and to bring them into the conversation. We've got to remember that the City Council isn't a unitary authority. It doesn't have the massive powers that Extinction Rebellion might imagine that it has. It already does a lot of work towards climate change and has put things in the budget for that kind of action. But it doesn't have control over transport. It doesn't have control over health or education. And it's really the County Council that has that sort of power.
OK, well, Matthew, thank you very much for coming in to speak to us.
Thank you very much.
This morning. What numbers are the petition at the moment?
When I last checked, it was 6,500.
OK, well, thanks very much. That's Matthew Bird, takes us to 8:20.
Cambridge Breakfast. Cambridge 105.